We will talk with a political scientist about the latest developments in the John Doe investigation of Governor Walker's campaign and conservative groups. What's all this about the governor trying to reach a deal to end this case? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, June 2nd. The governor's campaign last week issued a very carefully worded statement saying neither Governor Walker or his campaign committee are parties to the federal lawsuit and that they have no legal standing to reach a settlement or deal in this lawsuit. But it didn't say that Governor Walker's attorney was not in settlement talks with the prosecutors from the John Doe investigation. So what's going on here and why does it matter? We will discuss it with our guest and welcome your questions and thoughts at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Let me go back to where this started last week. Last week, the Wall Street Journal ran an editorial that first raised the possibility that Governor Walker's campaign may be trying to work out a deal. And the paper wasn't too happy about it. In fact, it was livid. Here's one quote. Stephen Biskupic, who represents Friends of Scott Walker, has been negotiating with Wisconsin Special Prosecutor Francis Schmitz in order to settle the state's investigation. The understandable concern among the direct targets of the John Doe is that Mr. Biskupic will cut a deal that would exonerate Mr. Walker while wrestling concessions from some of Mr. Walker's allies. And then it concludes, Mr. Walker has to decide whose side he's on, his own or the larger principles he claims to represent. So what do you make of the Wall Street Journal's position on this?
Well, that was the first that the story came out that the governor may have been negotiating, or actually it wasn't the governor, it was his attorney for the campaign was doing this basically with the attorney for Special Prosecutor Eric Schmidt, a guy named Randall Crocker. And that led to a series of actions later in the week and try to clarify exactly what were the legal standing and what were the legal abilities of Eric Schmidt to actually do this or not. So they actually went back to Judge Aranda and asked, can they, in fact, negotiate? That's essentially what happened. A day or so later, I'll read a quote, Wall Street Journal's Walker's too clever reply. In other words, you're talking about lawsuits that are in state courts, and the governor's people basically used a federal response, which they characterized as being too clever. So this all has gone, and 1 week basically has gone on almost like a soap opera. It's an amazing series of events, frankly.
It is, and help us understand why the Wall Street Journal would be so, I don't know, involved in this case going on in little old Wisconsin.
Well, I think the governor, for his part, has got an election coming up, and this is a distraction, frankly. And I think, at least it appears as if, that he would like to get this out of the way. He's dealing from strength here, Joey. You got to recognize that the legal decisions of the last month or two have really worked in his favor. So, you know, he's dealing from strength. And on the other hand, the other side probably would like to get this over with as well because they seem to be dealing from weakness. In the case of the Wall Street Journal, it tells you about the national implications, basically. They see this as a possible court case which has free speech implications, constitutional elements of it, and the First, the Fourth, the 14th Amendment, that could conceivably, regardless of what happens, you know, this is on appeal, and it is going to the Seventh Circuit Court, and they will decide on the Randa decision. But at some point, it's clear whatever happens is going to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And I think the Wall Street Journal sees this as an opening to further erode campaign finance laws and allow for a broader implication of what they would determine as free speech.
And the governor's campaign or the statement that was released last week that in essence said, we you know, neither Governor Walker nor his campaign committee are parties to the federal lawsuit. They have no legal standing to reach a settlement or deal in their lawsuit. That doesn't say that, they weren't trying to reach a deal.
No, this is sort of a difference between federal and state, at least the way I understand it. The John Doe is a state issue. In fact, this alludes to this whole issue of Judge Rand is a federal judge, and the John Doe is a state issue. And you had a federal court basically getting heavily involved, to say the least, with a state prosecution or at least a state investigation that really didn't have much to do with federal issues at that time. So it's it really kind of reflects on the federal-state issue. And the governor responded that, and he didn't say this, of course, but his attorney, Biskupic, said that essentially was trying to determine to what degree they could go ahead and do this type of discussion. And really, it's not. He was trying to say is that we're not involved with the federal decision at all. This is really a state decision whether we should continue or not continue to negotiate with to get the John Doe over with.
Yeah,
John
this Doe 2. This is there's John Doe 2. That's right. This is the second one. Let me just make sure that we all are on the same page here, and listeners who are tuning in are who are saying what's going on here. Let's remind people where this case has been so far. The prosecutors were investigating whether Governor Walker's campaign was illegally collaborating, coordinating with other conservative groups. Is that right?
Yes. The issue really had to do with collusion, whether or not you could or could not legally collude between, say, a campaign, for example, like a recall campaign of a particular candidate, and outside groups that were involved in various types of advocacy, to what degree you could do this. The state laws basically say you cannot do this for the most part. What seems to have occurred here is that there's this blurring of different types of collusion and of course, throwing in the issue of free speech. You know, do you have a right or do you have a free speech issue to First Amendment rights to either say what you want to say or at least work with whoever you want, freedom of assembly. And essentially that's what's blurred this whole thing, frankly.
And so, again, we have a state investigation that one of the targets of this investigation went public and said, sued, essentially. That's why this is in the federal courts.
Yeah, the John Doe is supposed to be secret. It's been going on for about 3 years, by the way. It started probably slightly before, if not actually after the recall elections of 2 years ago. So it's this has been going on for a long time. It's the only way we know much about it is, frankly, by leaking information. If somebody's really interested in this, let me suggest a listener might check on something called the Wisconsin Reporter. It's an online service. They have had no less than 73 stories about John Doe 2.
Yeah.
I was looking through the titles and it tells you that a lot has been going on. It hasn't necessarily got into the press on a regular basis because a lot of this is rumor.
Yeah, and the target of the John Doe investigation was saying my rights, my civil rights, my free speech rights are and other rights are being violated here. So it's in the federal courts, and Judge Randa recently said, stop this investigation. You are violating rights here, and actually said destroy all evidence, though I think that's on hold now. And this is all right now. Where does this stand?
Well, right now it's on appeal. Judge Randa, the prosecutors initially appealed Randa's decision basically almost within a matter of a day or two of it coming out. And they argued on two things. One is that it was not a federal issue. At least it was not the investigation had not gone far enough where frankly, a judge should be stepping in. And secondarily, the issue of either destroying evidence or returning evidence before a court case even occurred was overturned. That part was overturned by the Seventh Circuit Court. Judge Randa immediately then after that reconfirmed his original injunction, essentially to stop the John Doe investigation. So the issue is essentially on appeal. Legally, it's on appeal to the Seventh Circuit Court, the federal courts.
Good. I think we're all on the same page now. So
the
now,
major group. Mm-hmm. Let me mention one thing: the Wisconsin Club for Growth is the major group that has been pursuing lawsuits. They've had no less than 4 separate lawsuits in the last 6 months in 4 separate courts on 4 separate issues.
Well, in Wisconsin Club for Growth, which sued John Doe prosecutors on First Amendment grounds, sent a letter demanding that any talks between Walker's campaign and prosecutors cease, arguing that that would be a violation of a federal court order that that stopped the investigation. Why is Club for Growth so worried about Walker's side possibly talking with prosecutors?
I think they are interested in the federal implications of it and the national implications of it. Obviously, they're so far they're on the winning side. You know, they're they appear to be winning in federal court, and possibly they see this as something that has national implications. So they are arguing that their free speech and their constitutional rights are being infringed upon, which they feel is a much broader issue than simply John Doe investigation in the state of Wisconsin, which is a state issue. So they see much bigger implications of this. And frankly, a lot of this does have to do with to what degree a campaign can work, you know, across aisles, basically, with other campaigns, and to what degree can you collude. The Randa decision pretty well decimated the state of Wisconsin law dealing with collusion, that you could have separate organizations essentially working together to get somebody elected.
We are talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse, talking about the latest developments in the John Doe case, the one where they are investigating whether Governor Walker's campaign illegally colluded with outside groups. We are talking about whether or not the governor is seeking some sort of settlement of this case and the big to-do that blew up over this last week. What's going on? What does this all mean? Is this a big issue for you in terms of the race for governor? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about possible John Doe deals during this half of our State Capitol Report. And coming up after 7:30, we will talk about a top cop debate. The 4 candidates running for Wisconsin Attorney General met for a debate over the weekend, and we'll talk about the issues in this race coming up after 7:30. Right now, we are trying to understand what's going on with the John Doe 2 probe. With Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse, Governor Scott Walker has deflected questions about whether his campaign is trying to reach a deal with prosecutors in that John Doe investigation. We are talking about the latest developments in this case and the possible effects of this particular issue, and we are welcoming your questions and we're welcoming your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, James on Facebook says, it appears that Walker is being told what to do publicly by the Wisconsin, the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Who could have such power to publicly admonish the governor of Wisconsin? This seems to be very easy publicity for the Burke camp to show Walker as being easily intimidated by wealthy donors and not concerned about the citizens of Wisconsin. Well, two things here. Is Governor Walker being told what to do by the Wall Street Journal editorial page, Professor Heim?
Well, first of all, I have to comment. When's the last time you had 2 editorials from the Wall Street Journal directed at essentially like letters to the governor of the state of Wisconsin?
Never.
Never. It is amazing. I mean, to see the Wall Street Journal, obviously they see this as national implications, and because Walker is a potential presidential candidate, it's almost as if they're trying to remind him that, you know, we're all watching this nationally, whereas he's, I think, primarily concerned about state. So it's an amazing reaction, frankly. If you read those 2 editorials, however, you would not say they were positive about Walker. They were more criticism. because they didn't believe he should be negotiating, and they didn't like his response, basically, to their earlier editorial. So I wouldn't say he's exactly buckling up under them. But he is very careful about this because essentially what he's trying to do is say, hey, we're dealing with state issues and national issues, and I've got to get through elections first.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Wall Street Journal was upset with any possible negotiations going on to reach a deal. What about our listeners' comment that this is easy publicity for the Burke camp? How is this playing in the race for governor, and is it likely to sway voters?
Well, I think what the governor's trying to do is keep this out of the campaign, frankly. He'd like to get this over with so that in the middle of the fall you don't have more lawsuits. You know, this is going on for 3 years. This could, as it is, it could drag on through the summer into the fall, and I don't think he sees this as a positive thing for a campaign. So he'd like to get it off the, you know, off the table, basically. The real question is how much this would affect his election. John Doe, number one, the first one, really did not affect the campaigns at all. For whatever reason, people did not associate the investigations with the governor himself directly. And I would suspect this is probably true for this as well. But this certainly, whenever you have this type of a situation, you have, you know, where there's smoke, there must be fire. So some people are always going to be a little upset about it and questioning, what does this all mean? This could be considered a black eye in the governor. And obviously, Mary Burke could try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, but if ultimately judges are going to say, "Hey, nothing wrong happened here," which is apparently what many believe could happen, then what's the big deal? Why not? Be shouting out for freedom of speech and all that?
Well, that's the one side basically arguing that this is a constitutional issue in free speech, and the prosecutors have vastly overstepped their authority. That's on the other side of the coin. Basically, these are state laws, and the argument is that the prosecutors are simply doing their job. Mm-hmm. So there's no real answer to that particular issue. And by the way, Joy, there's two other things that happened at the end of the week to complicate this whole thing.
Yes,
Wisconsin Club for Growth went to court and filed a lawsuit trying to get the Government Accountability Board out of the suit. In other words, out of the John Doe investigation, seeking to have them withdraw from it, and arguing that they are illegal. I'm going to use some exact words here. They exceeded their statutory authority. They used the term establish a Frankenstein monster, unnecessary expenses. These are all words that are part of the filing. So essentially, the Wisconsin Club for Growth is piling on here, essentially trying to get the Government Accountability Board out of the whole thing. And finally, the Attorney General of Wisconsin has said he is not going to represent the Government Accountability Board in any of this stuff, all of which makes this a very political issue.
Sure does. Well, we do have another caller, so let's go to Will in DeForest next. Hello, Will.
Yes. I'm wondering why the state shouldn't be allowed to continue their investigation since these conservative groups always are yelling that it's a state issue, and it seems as if the state is trying to shut it down, and the people will never get the truth. And they talk about the freedom of assembly and freedom of speech when the governor didn't allow us that up in the Capitol, and it has been ruled, and it's on appeal now about the 400 people that was arrested. So it's hypocrisy at the highest level that they're doing this, and it's my opinion that they're doing it because Governor Walker's campaign people and part of his staff are connected in this investigation, and they're trying to cover it up. And that's why Judge Randall made that ruling that he did, to destroy all the information they had.
Yeah, well, Judge Randall actually said that what was happening was okay. Isn't that the what his ruling said, Joheim?
Yes, he essentially said that the collusion was okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are two types of advocacy here, and the one advocacy, express advocacy, means you're essentially trying to do things and express the fact that you support or oppose a particular candidate. And the judge basically said that there isn't much difference between that type of advocacy and issue advocacy, and essentially blurred the state statutes on this. One of the criticisms that lawyers use here on the Judge Randa decision is that he stepped in too early. Many lawyers, including Republican lawyers, think that this should have been allowed to proceed. There were no charges actually filed against anybody. Nobody was going to court. This was pulling the plug on an investigation before it ever got to the point of actually charging anybody. And essentially, it's a federal court stepping into a state issue. And I think that's what has bothered a lot of lawyers, frankly.
Ken in Madison writes, are these organizations, a Club for Growth, AFP, et cetera, nonprofits, do they risk losing their nonprofit status if they're found to be coordinating with a candidate's campaign?
I'm not sure about that one, Joy.
Yeah.
The nonprofit element really has to do with federal laws, and I cannot tell you whether Wisconsin Club for Growth is or is not a nonprofit. I don't know that.
In our final minute, then, Professor Heim, what should we be looking for in the next developments in this case?
Well, I think this has very national implications. It's very clear this is likely going to go on. It's very possible that the governor and his people are going to risk the wrath of the Wall Street Journal and other conservative forces that want to see this carried to its end. They feel they're arguing from strength. I think he'd like to get out of it, but essentially this is for more or less in the federal courts. There are some state court decisions involved in this as well, but this has become a federal issue. And unless the governor can pull the special prosecutor, Eric Schmidt, and essentially come to an agreement, this is likely going to continue in the federal courts primarily.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. We're going to talk about the race for Wisconsin Attorney General coming up in our next segment of the State Capitol Report after this news.